What's up, guys? Welcome to the Social Media Entrepreneurs Podcast, teaching you how to become a full-time entrepreneur by leveraging modern-day social media strategies. I'm your host, Derek Vidal, and on today's episode, we are talking about how to be more of yourself. This episode has the chance to be a big impact to you if you can even just take away one thing today that helps you be a little bit more of yourself. The reason why this topic is so damn important, if you don't already know, is because your success, regardless if you go into entrepreneurship or a traditional career path or anything that you do, will largely be tied to how well you know yourself. To take an example of why you need to know yourself to do well in business, let's just look at your scheduling. If you don't know exactly how you like to do your schedule, that is the way that gives you the most enthusiasm when you approach your schedule with the way that you lay it out, it gives you the easiest flow from task to task, it makes it so that you're in the right mental state depending on whatever task you do. There's a lot of things that have to go into you scheduling and figuring out how you do to-do lists, your calendar, all of your organization, if you have an assistant or not, and exactly how you two work together. All of this is such a process. It seems simple, right? Just do your schedule, put in the tasks that you need to do. But something with entrepreneurship is that you have the ability to design your lifestyle. So for me, maybe I learned that there's certain tasks that I like to do before podcasts, and there's certain tasks that I don't like to do before podcasts. Like, I don't like to go for a run. I don't like to do a cardio workout before doing podcasts. Otherwise, I'm a lot more likely to be out of breath. I do like doing arm workouts, especially like a shoulder workout. If I know I'm going to be filming my upper body, I got a jacket on right now, so it's not really going to make a difference. But if I can get a little shoulder pump, hey, might as well organize that before my podcast to just make it at a time where it's going to be a little more beneficial to me. And then also I'm a little bit more motivated to do it because I place it there. And a lot of little things like this just happen from you experimenting over time and getting to know yourself better. Another example is just that the fact that we're content creators online, and as you get more and more views, you're naturally going to get more and more haters, as they say, out there online that want to criticize your work. And if you know yourself and you know that this is exactly what I need to be doing, this is the work that I need to put out, or I totally believe in that tip that I put out online, if I put out some social media advice and someone disagrees with it, if I'm very sure about it and I'm very sure of myself, then that negative comment is not going to affect me. So it also plays into your mindset. Like, if you really know yourself, then you're not going to have nearly as much imposter syndrome problems. You're not going to have nearly as many problems when it comes to, you know, taking negativity or criticism from others. Even people in your life, your friends and family, it's not going to affect you as much. If you really know yourself, then you will be able to maintain your frame and proceed along your journey without all of this negativity bringing you down. The first thing I want to talk about is don't have opinions on things that you haven't personally tried. If you hear about why zip lining is lame from someone who had a lame zip lining experience, and then now you try to adapt this belief, or you hear some small talk of someone talking about why they don't like someone else, and then you choose to adapt that person's opinion just because maybe you like or trust them, and you say, all right, I won't like that person as well. Things like this, where you are letting your personality be influenced by outside sources where you don't have personal experience in, can really rob you out of a lot of opportunities in life. I'd encourage you to adapt the mindset of trying to check a new box every week. And by that, I mean some kind of new experience, even if it's just going out and having like the best burger in the state that you live in the couple hundred mile area. You're just like, I'm just going to find like the best burger or whatever your favorite food is, trying to just go to that best restaurant or go see a movie that you haven't seen. It can be little things like that. Trying some kind of new experience. All of this allows you to be more relatable to other people and also just have more opinions on things, which helps you become more of yourself. Something that I wanted to do is because I have a lot of international students that I work with, like clients that will call me and I'm trying to help them out with their business. And they were telling me they're from Italy or France and all these places that I hadn't been. And I wanted to be able to relate a little bit more to them because as an American, right, I hate being like, all right, yep, I still haven't really left the country that much and, you know, support the stereotype they have of us. So I was able to go on a Europe trip about 6 months ago And it's just nice now that I have my opinion on these places. It's nice having a personal experience with things so that you can actually have conversations a lot better with people. And then you can actually add your two cents and you are more of yourself because you actually have an opinion on something rather than, oh yeah, I've seen Italy on Instagram, looks amazing. And then you don't really have anywhere to go with the conversation. So a lot of it is making yourself go out there and check a new box every single week. And if you want to make this like a goal for 2023, it would be a great resolution. But even if you do a new box every day, it's really not that crazy. When you really look at all the little things that you can be doing, even if it's just trying a new food or watching a movie that you haven't seen before, don't rewatch The Office again, right? It doesn't help you communicate with people more. You can already talk to people who love The Office. Go watch a show that you haven't seen before so that you have more perspective. The next topic we're going to talk about is to realize that all social regrets stem from you thinking you have to try to impress someone. I'm someone who has always placed a large value on friendships. I've wanted people to have a positive perception of me in junior high and high school and really even later in elementary school. One of my main goals was just to be popular. I just wanted everyone to like me as much as possible. And that can come from, honest reasoning, not something, necessarily negative to want people to like you. But it also can lead to you not being able to be yourself because you're trying to mold yourself to other people, right? But the thing is, people have a strong perception of when someone is acting out of place. I remember in my sales job, we would go to New Mexico sometimes to go sell our kitchen products. So I was living in Colorado. I would go a state down to New Mexico and we would work like a farm and ranch show there. And me and my buddy would always just kind of dress our version of country. And I'm sure it was very obvious that we were city slickers when we would open our mouths, even just for a second. But it wasn't like the best idea for us to try to like talk like them. I would say that I didn't do it nearly as much as my buddy. Sorry if you're listening to this and you know who you are. But he would really try to be like y'all and like use a little bit of an accent. And it's just like, it's not a good idea. Another example is actually when I went to Europe, me and my buddy went to Italy to start. And we do know a little bit of Spanish, which is pretty similar to the Italian language. And when we got out there, we kind of joked that we would say the Italian word if we knew what that was. Otherwise, we would say the Spanish word and hope that it was the same. Otherwise, maybe they could figure it out from there. And then if not, we would use English with kind of like an Italian accent that we weren't meaning to put on it, but we just would. And then like the fourth level down was just use your regular voice. And it only took a few days into the trip to realize, let's just talk like Americans in our normal accent, just speak English, and just like this is going to work best. And it was funny because we were just like trying to not necessarily impress the people, but we wanted to put in an effort to learn the language and to try to adapt. But it really only worked in the end when we were just ourselves. So this is going to stem to a lot of other experiences. If you think to maybe a time that you have some social regrets, a time that you think that you acted a little bit out of order and you wish you could take that night back, you might find that at the root of it was you thinking that you needed to impress someone. So as much as we want to impress other people, the way to really do that, by the way, is to just be an impressive person and wait for people to ask about you is the easiest flow that you can do this with. I don't think like me having a podcast is necessarily like that grand compared to like what a lot of other people do, but it does kind of have that perception. Like people are like, oh, you do your own podcast and like you actually make money and you've done it for a while. So it can kind of shock people. And this isn't information that I try to volunteer at all. I'll have a conversation with someone for hours just asking about them and they won't even know what I do. And by the time they ask me, they're like, oh, wow, that's, I wanted to know that because obviously they asked and they find it, a lot of times impressive just because of like the general notion of like running your own business, I guess. But like that kind of information, like if I were to go out and like volunteer, like, yeah, I got a podcast, blah, blah, blah. It's all of a sudden like people don't really care at all, right? So being impressive to people is good, right? It's good when they have that perception of you, but you're not ever going to achieve that by going out of your way to try to make them think that. Just be an impressive person and be humble and ask people about themselves and take a genuine interest in other people. If you haven't read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, even if you read the first page of that book, or even just this one sentence where he says that you can make more friends in 2 weeks by taking an interest in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. And it's very, very true. If you just live by that one rule in social situations, it makes it a lot easier to excel. But it's important to know that all social regrets do usually stem from one of two things. One would be you not being yourself, or the second one would be you not being present, which is something we're going to touch on as well. The next way to become more of yourself is to do activities that help you become fully present. Now, why is being present important? The reason why is because our minds can essentially exist in the past, the present, or the future. When we are existing in the future and we're thinking about what's to come, then we have worry. And if we are thinking about the past, we have anxiety. But when we are in the present, there really are no problems that exist in this moment right now. You have to have a doctor's appointment next week. Hey, still not a problem right now. You have to do 50 outbound DMs for your business. It's not a problem in like this instant, the one that like just passed, like that instant right there. It actually didn't exist as a problem. And the more that we are not in the present moment, the more regrets that we create. An example I like to think of one time is I was on a cruise with my old sales team, and we were like celebrating at the end of the year. And I was having an issue with this one guy on the cruise. Alcohol certainly doesn't help, but we were kind of like bickering at each other. And I was at dinner with him. I was sitting right next to him, and he was mad at me because I didn't listen to him very well, basically. And that's just kind of a thing for like ADHD people in general. But you know, I don't use that as an excuse. But he was just arguing that he's like, you never listen to me, and you always like screw up these little things, blah blah blah, just because you know. Essentially, I'm not listening to him. And I was sitting there next to him at the table thinking about, man, I really got to listen to him better. I really hope that I can focus better because I do care about my relationship with him. And I'm sitting there thinking of that. And then all of a sudden, I realized that he had just asked me a question. And I look up and I'm like, what? And he's like, forget it. And then I was like, dang it, I just ruined it even more so because I was not present. I was thinking about the regret, the anxiety of the past, of how I hadn't been listening to him well. And while I was living in the past, he was speaking to me, making it so I couldn't even focus on him. And then it just reaffirmed the whole thing. And he's like, just forget it. And then I was now sitting there stuck with even more regrets. So the past does happen. You do want to learn from it, but as soon as you can get out of it, the faster you can stop creating more regrets for the future by existing in the moment. When you're not present, you can't be yourself because you're always stuck somewhere else thinking about some other kind of issue or some kind of regret. So if someone's speaking to you, then now you might miss some jokes that you would have said otherwise. You might misunderstand them and just ignore them like I did in my example. And everything about these social regrets usually comes down to you weren't being yourself because you were trying to impress someone, right? Is more the first one. You were trying to be impressive. You were outwardly trying to volunteer why you are impressive. That's the number one mistake. And then the number two would be that you weren't present in that moment. So that is why I wanted to tell you that a way to become more of yourself is to find activities that make you become fully present. For me, my number one activity by far and away is public speaking, because it's like I'm doing a podcast like I am right now, but there's hundreds of people watching me. So I have to do it right. I have to be fully in that moment. I can't possibly think of anything else. All my problems outside of that speech go away because, man, you better pay attention because otherwise you're going to mess up in front of hundreds of people. And sometimes it can be necessary to do activities on that level to really get you fully present. I went snowboarding last week. That's another activity that it's like, hey, if you're not fully present, you're probably going to fall. So let's really tune out the rest of the world for a bit. And when you are able to get into that present state, it makes it so you can more clearly see your other problems as just problems that you'll eventually solve, problems that will be okay, things that you've dealt with before and you've been worried about before, but it all ended up being okay. And you're able to have that perspective when you're in a state of being fully present in the moment. So maybe it's you hanging out with some of your favorite people. I know that meditation and things like that are very popular, but I will tell you, as someone who has a very busy brain and diagnosed with ADHD, I just mentioned this because I know a lot of entrepreneurs have it, and I think it's just good to mention that it can be hard to be fully present just doing activities like that. If I'm trying to meditate and I'm just sitting here in complete silence and I'm like, all right, don't think about anything, it's pretty difficult for me. But that's why I want to introduce this to you, because a lot of times being fully present is just you needing to add a little bit more stimuli so that your brain feels like it is completely taken up. So what I found is that if I'm in like a sauna or a steam room, and then maybe there's like essential oil and maybe there's some light music playing, then I can meditate way better because I have like a couple other things going on in the background to help me fill up that space that my mind usually otherwise tries to fill with whatever. And it was just a lot easier for me to have a lot more positive meditation with these other stimuli added. You may find that you work better with music on, but you also might find if the music has lyrics that you know or you'd like to dance to it, maybe it's not helpful. If it's just some binaural beats and some yoga meditation music, maybe that's more where it fits in the background and clears up some of that restless thinking that you do. And this also comes back to, you have to know yourself. You have to experiment like this. That could be, even be like the new box you check. This week, I'm going to try to work with an essential oil diffuser next to me and see if that helps production or not. If you don't know, like if essential oils help you or like literally anything, oh yeah, stress ball, like 15 times in between all of my tasks helps me out a lot. Or I like to do a to-do list, and I like to do a to-do list where all the tasks are in order that I'm going to do for the day, or I organize them by importance. And then I just try to get myself to do the top one. Otherwise I go to the bottom if I need a break, or I find that if I take a 20 minutes for lunch, but I go to a different site and then come back to work at home, it's a lot better for my brain because I need to just get out of the house a little bit in order to work from home more effectively. You have to figure these things out about yourself, and it just comes from experimenting and having fun with it. So that's why I will say that you want to design your schedule in a way that you can meet it with the most enthusiasm possible, because nothing great is accomplished without enthusiasm. That is a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, and it's absolutely true. And it's why you want to do what you love in life. And a lot of times in business, just to take for example, maybe you're saying like, I want to, like YouTube's a good idea, TikTok's a good idea, Instagram's a good idea, I heard Facebook Reels is a good idea. They're all good ideas. Whichever one makes you the most excited is the path that you should pursue, because you'll have the most enthusiasm, you'll be able to get on camera the best and show up, right? Like this video, I'm very happy to do right now. A couple of days ago when I originally came up with this topic, I was just feeling a little bit off. I was like, I need to do a little bit more grounding for myself before I'm like ready to do this one. So you have to design your schedule in a way that you're ready for it. And then leading up to this, I had my tea, I got a haircut earlier before I filmed my video. I took a cold shower and did some working out, did some reading, just like a bunch of little things, right? That I'm like, okay, let me organize those before I do a video, because then I'm more likely to do them and I'm more enthusiastic about doing it. And that just comes from, I know myself and I know how I think about things. So if I organize it like this, then it's kind of like playing life on easy mode, but still accomplishing the same amount. And that's one other thing that I would tell you to consider is, if you feel like you're playing life on hard mode, there is some kind of way that you can probably reorganize your routine that would make it feel like it's on easy mode or at least medium, and you'll still get the same results. It's not to say that, hey, avoid things that are difficult, but a lot of times you want to still take the easiest path to get the results, right? You don't want to cut corners or go down an easy path that is just not going to work, but essentially you are still trying to find the easiest path to get the most results you want, so you have to know yourself and you got to organize it in the right way. Speaking of activities that help you become fully present, the next one I want to talk about is doing affirmations that hit your soul. So affirmations is essentially you saying things like, I'm smart, I'm confident, I'm wise. Like, you're just saying things about yourself that are positive, right? And you're speaking them into existence and you're making them more real. And the goal is to give yourself more confidence and to also become clear of who you are. And that's why you want to really find these affirmations that hit your soul. I think a lot of times we hear, like, say this affirmation, like, I am a confident individual. I am a confident individual and I believe that I can do it. Like, I don't know, that's not the best example, but you just come up with some kind of like basic one that someone told you to do, but it's not working on you. Then you really want to find the ones that work great for you. And when you can find these ones that really hit you on a spiritual level and you can find yourself being empowered by them, which I will say that I don't really just like do affirmations very well while I drive. I think it makes a lot of sense too, right? I like to try to like kill two birds with one stone wherever I can. So if I'm driving somewhere, maybe I'll just do affirmations. But the thing is you're not really able to be fully present with them. So they don't really like impact you as much. And affirmations can be really good. It's not necessarily in a spiritual sense, by the way. So for those of you who aren't really spiritual, I'm not saying like, hey, if you say these things about yourself, the molecules and the universe will conspire to help you become that. Although I'm sure there's plenty of people who absolutely believe that. But no matter what, there is a way to say these in a way that you're confident in them and you're saying the things that you know you are and that you really want to be, and they hit you on a more spiritual level, and you should be able to feel it, the enthusiasm flow through you from saying these things. So try to find those words because when you have these affirmations that hit your soul and you figure out exactly how you like to do them, what setting you like to be when you do this or what you like to do before or after it, then you're going to be able to utilize these very effectively so that when you do feel like you're not yourself, when you're out of character, that you can use these to help you come back to your center and keep living your life as yourself. The next concept we're going to talk about is think bold, live humble. And the reason why we're talking about it right after talking about affirmations is because affirmations could possibly get to your head in a negative way. If you say a lot of the affirmations that probably really touch your soul, right? Like, I was born to do this. I was born to be the top marketing podcaster. I am the top marketing podcaster. If I just start saying that to friends and family out loud, that can sound pretty boastful, and it's not really usually the representation that you're looking for people to have of you. And a lot of times when you get into like affirmations and visualizations and like, I can do it and I'm great and telling yourself these things, you don't want it to necessarily translate to cocky behavior. Although I will say that people who find you cocky or despise you for that usually just lack confidence, because people with a lot of confidence are more gonna be like, yes, hell yeah, you are. Like, you can do that, and they're going to be more supportive of hearing things like that. But I don't feel like it is very beneficial to speak, you know, if you will, cocky or just overconfident to other people. There's a lot of fine lines to this, but let me talk about them because this has been something that I've really played around with over the years. I'm someone who thinks very boldly. A statement I made on my Instagram story yesterday was I said, there are absolutely zero realities in which I do not hit 100K YouTube subscribers eventually. Not even Doctor Strange could travel to any multiverse and find anyone where I do not hit 100K subscribers. So if you want to be part of the first 2K, you know what to do, is hit that subscribe button. But I said that on my story, right? It's such a bold statement. And something like that is actually something that I usually don't project out to people, that I don't post to other people. That's not something I would post on my personal story, but I posted it on my business story because a lot of times on the podcast, I like to just show you guys how I think by just like putting it out there. Like, these were my raw thoughts that I had this morning that got me up, that got me inspired, and got me to take this bold of action, so that you can get a little insight and you can hopefully allow yourself to have thoughts like this. These aren't things that I really tell someone that I'm meeting out at the bars for the first time. I will hit it, blah, 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 because they're like, okay, who is this guy and why are they talking about themselves so highly? So think bold, but live humble is ultimately going to be what is... It leads to a lot less regrets. You don't have to like get to the end of some night and feel like, man, I gave people the wrong impression. And like I said, you know, if you're being very bold and people don't see it, those are usually just people you don't want to associate yourself with. But I've also found that a lot of times, like if I'm playing one-on-one basketball against someone and I try to be like, good night, and like shoot the shot and try to be like, this is going in, like the universe doesn't like that. Okay, the expression fate loves irony has proven true in my life experience. If I talk crap, the universe humbles me immediately after, unfortunately. I would so much rather, like when I play my roommate in ping pong, who he absolutely just destroys me, I still start the match saying like, I'm going to destroy you this match. Like it is going to be 21-0. I'm sorry in advance. Like I always just talk shit because it's fun and it doesn't work out well. But there's just something about when you say things like that, it takes you out of the present moment, which makes you not perform well because now you're thinking about, man, I got to live up to what I said. And it can also not be beneficial for you. Now, the reason why I like to make statements like I did on my story, though, is because I have found when I say things like that to people that I care about, it's opinion of me, it does increase my chances of doing it. And I wanted to put that out. I wanted to screenshot it so that when I do hit 100K, I can say, look, I told you. And right now, people might be like, yeah, we'll see. But I like to say things like that because I do have a track record of even at my sales job, I told the guy interviewing me that I was going to take his job, and I did. So I just like to say things like that as long as I do them. But that leads me to my next point, is that you can only really think boldly like this if your life experience has showed you that you are allowed to, all right? So the next topic that we need to talk about for becoming more of yourself is to always do the things you say you're going to do, because you can't believe in yourself if you have to watch yourself lie all the time. If you know that when you say, I'm gonna read every day for the next 30 days, like the right at the beginning when you're calling it, that you're probably not going to do it because you've watched how you do these kind of challenges that you give yourself and you don't really have experience with following through. When you do a 7-day fitness challenge, you get 4 days in and quit. If you have a lot of stories like this, then it's very hard to actually believe in yourself, and you need to break that cycle as soon as you can. I think one of the easiest ways is to set either a fitness or a reading challenge where you're just trying to do a consistency string of 7 days, 15 days, 30 days, something easy that you're just like, I can do this, I know I can. Do not let yourself down on it, because if you just have this track record of your life, I've seen it with friends and family members too, that they keep saying they're gonna do something and then they don't do it, and they say they're gonna do it and then they don't do it, and then they get to a later point in life and they just can't do anything because their entire life experience has been lying to themselves. And if you let yourself do this, this is a very popular concept, more commonly talked about in life, or explained as, be impeccable with your word. The four agreements, the first agreement in that book is be impeccable with your word, because if you say all these things that you don't do, your word starts to mean nothing, and then you don't have power to control your reality. Because I know that me telling my audience, there's a 100% chance that I will be hitting 100K subscribers. If you want to be part of it, now is your last chance to get in. Then I know my likelihood of doing it went up. I know how I work. And that's not exactly how I'm looking to live humbly, right? But like I said, I did that to my business audience only because I'm also just trying to show you the thoughts that go on in a high achiever's head before they go out and try to attack a goal. So you have to be more impeccable with your word. You have to start doing the things that you're going to say, and it starts today. It has to start right now. Tell yourself you're going to do something tonight and do it, even if it's your, hey, I'm gonna work out tonight, and then do it. Start showing yourself a different story, because if you keep showing yourself one that is a lie, you are digging yourself further and further away, and it gets very hard to take yourself out. This is why a lot of people who find success in anything than can find success in other things that they do. When you think bold and live humble, you're able to still take actions boldly and have this general sense of confidence, if not even a blind sense of confidence that is often necessary in opening your own business. But then when you live humbly, you're going to have a lot more people receptive of you. And because you don't have nearly as many social regrets and conversations that end in a way that you don't want them to, then you'll have less opportunities to judge yourself and not like yourself, right? So it's a lot easier to be yourself when you like who that person is. And there's just very rarely does it work out better for you when you are exalting yourself or acting, you know, outwardly cocky or overly confident. If you're very humble, and then people can really start asking about you, and then they figure out, like, hey, this guy actually doesn't have any reason to be humble. He just is. That is a very likable character. And then it's just a lot easier to like yourself when other people like you too. Not to say that you should be basing it on their external validation, but you know what I mean. The next tip is a very quick one, but can make a big impact. And that is to buy yourself some new clothes or buy some new home decor and change up your environment. When you have physical stimuli that you're very used to around you, a lot of times, even subconsciously, they can be making you think certain things. Like, it's very hard for someone to work in one place and then also like read in that same place and then also even like sleep in that same place, right? If like someone reads while they're in bed all the time, it can make it a lot harder for them to actually fall asleep because that environment is more tied to some other activity, even if it does exist more on a subconscious level. That's when, if you take a vacation, a lot of the refreshment is just you being in a new area and you don't feel like you're in a routine. You don't feel like you're in the monotony of life where you're like, oh, there's my grocery store where this happened before and this happened before and where I get that. And there's that store that I go to. If you're just in an area where you're used to all the physical stimuli, then it can make it more difficult to really start expressing yourself in new ways. Same with buying new clothing. A lot of times, if you haven't bought clothing in like over a year or something, you're probably wearing stuff that isn't a true reflection of you anymore. And it's not for other people's validation. Although, hey, if you get some compliments from people, that's always great. But it's for, you know, you're going to look at yourself in the mirror. And it'd be hard to go out to the bars in basketball shorts and a polo shirt, although some of you do it, and go talk to girls as if I had the same confidence as if I was dressed how I actually would want to be dressed. So know that a lot of times your confidence can come down to how you see yourself, and you saw yourself in the mirror that morning. So are you dressed in a way that is really reflective of the person you're trying to be? It really can make a big impact. And then for the very last topic that we're going to talk about, to become more of yourself, you have to identify your greatest weaknesses as your greatest strengths as well, because they almost always are. In fact, I don't even know of a person that I've met where when they tell me their greatest strength and their greatest weakness, they're actually not tied together in some way. And this can exist, you can have multiple of these as well. So for myself, as someone with ADHD, this could be my greatest weakness. It doesn't really help me when I'm in English class in elementary school and we're reading a book that I don't want to read at all, and it's a reading comprehension quiz. It's going to be very difficult for me to do well on that. Although I'd like to get a good grade, I just really don't care about reading about freaking To Kill a Mockingbird or whatever, because I'm 9 and it's just not what I want to do, right? So ADHD is that it means that it's very hard for you to focus on things that you don't want to do. However, you're really good at being focused on things that you really want to do. And that's why a lot of us end up being entrepreneurs, because we don't want to do any kind of tasks that are assigned by someone that we don't want to do, especially if like, I don't want to do that today and you're telling me I have to do it. Like, what is going on here? It really like breaks our brain, right? So it makes it so it's hard to be a good employee, makes it so it's hard to be a good student in a lot of cases, but we make for amazing entrepreneurs when you can put yourself in that proper position and understand that this is actually my greatest strength that I'm dealing with. It's not, oh man, I can't focus. I need to get some Adderall so that I can make myself focus on this study that I don't like. No, you just got to get out of school, okay? Get some passing grades and then go open your business or do whatever makes you extremely passionate, because that is where you'll achieve the focus. Another example would just be highly intelligent people. these people with high IQs often excel in whatever fields they pursue, usually more so on the left brain side of things, cater to people who are more left brain oriented and more logical and technical with their skill sets. But then when it comes down to art, they don't do well, or even communication. A lot of times geniuses are very socially awkward because they're not good at relating to people. So their greatest strength is their greatest weakness. They can put themselves in a position where they are forced to socialize and work as a team, and they just think that they suck at stuff their whole life, or they can put themselves in a situation where their high IQ puts them in a position of benefit. And if you don't know these things about yourself, then it can be hard to decide your career. And the reason why I say make sure you know that your greatest weakness is your greatest strength is because maybe you haven't identified it as such and you only know it as your greatest weakness. For my Star Wars fans out there, what is Yoda's greatest strength and greatest weakness both in one? His size. Right? Size matters not, because he knows how to use it as a strength. So you're not going to do very well in life if all of these greatest weaknesses are only ever seen as such. You need to know why it is equally a positive for you to say, hey, I am myself. These are the things that I need to do. These are the things that I love to do. These are the things that get me great results. And I know that about myself because I've been doing it for a while and I've tried a lot of other things, and I know this is the way to go. The more you know yourself, the more success you'll have. So I hope these activities have given you some ideas of what you can go out there and do to get to know yourself better, and know that this will just come with more confidence, more belief, more action, and just more everything that you're looking for in life, my friends. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Subscribe if you're not already, and I will talk to you soon.